Missed. There they go. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be spending some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today. I want to correct something that I said last week. Everybody's like, uh-oh, what did he say wrong? It was this slide. This slide says, why the controversy? And the interesting thing is that there isn't a controversy in Scripture about the Holy Spirit, about praying and speaking in tongues, about what is required of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And I do say required. What is a part of our walk with Jesus Christ. And there is no controversy. What happens is that for some reason over the course of a period of a few hundred years, this idea and this concept of having the fullness of the Holy Spirit working in your life became an unknown. And it is not. The third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is just that. He is the active third person of God. And there is a specific baptism that comes from being in relationship with God that comes full circle when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament that are clearly the term that comes to mind is byproduct, but that kind of indicates a waste. But it's not really a byproduct. It is the fruit of having God at work in your life. So there is no controversy. The controversy comes from man. That's where the controversy is. The controversy comes from men and women not being sure exactly how to function with the Holy Spirit active in their life. And for a long time too, for leadership in churches, not going into the depths of what it means to have the Holy Spirit active in your life. Now, last week we looked at a couple of scriptures in the book of Acts that showed that there was a concept that they had of a pattern that people were gave their hearts to Christ and received Him as their Lord and Savior, and then they were water baptized, and then they were filled with the Spirit. And God was about to turn all of that on its head, and He prepared Peter for an encounter. And next thing you know, somebody is there, and they come, and they're hearing the teachings of Peter. And before they have a chance to go through all of the processes, next thing you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit falls out in the room, and you almost get a sense of Peter going, wait, we haven't done it right. We haven't done it right. You know, stop being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be water baptized first. But no, there was a preparation that God had done. And that is found in Acts chapter 10. What an amazing progression that took place there. But there is no controversy. No controversy. What happens is that a group of people can become foreigners to the move of God if they are not completely aware of why God sent His Son here in the first place. We can become participants in a completely different tradition if we become ignorant of what it means to have the fullness of God revealed in our lives. We can become ignorant of it. And we can become ignorant of what it means to have the work and the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. For example, when did it become a political issue to not kill babies? When did that become a political thing? Immediately, if you start talking about the issue of abortion, Somebody automatically comes to you and puts you in a political conversation. And it's not political. The question is a question of morality. And morality has no compass without being subject to the power of God. Where does morality come from? Where does the concept of you shouldn't steal things, where when you get married, you shouldn't cheat on your wife or your husband, or you shouldn't covet things that belong to somebody, where does that concept come from? You go to any modernized or any established Western civilization, and they have a structure of laws and things in place that they're trying to enact morals without being able to recognize that that idea of morality came from somewhere. So to not kill a baby is not a political issue. It's a question of morality. Can a group of people that call themselves an established civilization warrant the killing of children and still call themselves a moral society? I pose to you, they cannot. You cannot call that a moral society. That is an amoral society that has a twisted concept of what it means to honor the people that you're around. That's what an established civilization does, is we begin to show respect and we're like, hey, we can live in this area together, we can all get along, and you know, and that type of thing. But the idea of it, where did it come from? And those same ideas begin to get twisted within the congregation of the bride when there is no time and place for the Holy Spirit to be the one guiding. I'm amazed when we start talking about some of these types of social issues that somebody attempts to do something that is very foreign to me, and that is to remove, I keep my spiritual ideas and my spiritual life in church, but we're talking about civilization and getting along and political stuff, and so I have one thing for my politics, and I have another thing with my religion. You can't do that. They go hand in hand. Our founding fathers believed that there, however a country's view of God is, there goes the country. And what do we see around us right now? And so when we talk about this idea of, okay, we love God, we know God, I believe in a higher deity, he is out there somewhere, he or she, I guess, apparently, and he's out there doing his thing, but he doesn't necessarily care about us. And then there's another group that would say, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. Jesus was a great teacher and a great prophet, and he taught us all kinds of neat things that we need to be able to keep track of and to look at. There's those kinds of camps of people. But as soon as you start talking about the Holy Spirit, they go, you're one of those. You're one of those. And I want to say, yeah, I'm one of those that wants the fullness of God in my life. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just say, you know what, God, I believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and was raised again on that third day, and so I hope I can get into heaven because I believe that. I don't want to do that. Because that's not the end of the story. If it was, then you would receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you would die the next day. I mean, that's it. That's okay, good, you did it. How many of you know that would really stunt church growth? That would be a problem, right? So obviously there is more to this thing called our spiritual journey. And Paul is completely into training the church on how to function as believers in Jesus Christ. That it's not just only holding on to the facts that they were able to see, is that Jesus did rise from the dead and he did ascend into heaven, which is this Thursday. How many of you have your plans and your parties ready? This is Ascension Thursday coming up. I know that you have it marked on your calendars and you're ready to celebrate, just like every other Christian thing that's going on. This is Ascension Thursday coming up. This is the time, this is the period of time right after the resurrection. Boom. Jesus goes into heaven and leaves everybody. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that next Sunday. But what's happening here now is that on the other side of all of the events that were taking place, Paul was making these trips and making these journeys, and he was leading people to Christ, and then he had to go. There was no blog to follow. I mean, you know that, right? There's no internet. There's no email. They would send a letter, and maybe I hope it gets there. I don't really even know how useful the mail courier service was. But somehow they were able to communicate back and forth. And in 1 Corinthians, have you found it? 1 Corinthians, there's some teachings that go on here in chapter 12. Look at you're going to be in 14, but I'm going to just kind of lay out the introduction. There are varieties. I wonder if you could just kind of help me along here a little bit. And can you say varieties for me? 1, 2, 3. Variety. So if I were to tell you that I was in sales and I had a variety of things that I was selling, that would lead you to believe that I had all kinds of different things. So that's what this is. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If I were to highlight something and say we're going to kind of catapult off of an idea, it is verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. One of the things that we talk about on our worship team, we get together on Wednesday nights, we're reading through a book together, and the reality is that I think you would agree with me that we have some really gifted and talented people that are a part of our worship teams that we have here at the church, and there is a gift that was given to them. And the fullness of that gift is understood when they offer that gift, watch this, they offer that gift back to God. Now, I know that there are some people that were wrapped up in their gift before they came to Christ, and I've heard many testimonies before where somebody said, well, I was really good at this one thing, and as soon as I gave my heart to the Lord, I felt like I needed to set it aside because it was something that I was worshiping or I expect people to really praise me for, and so I had to set my talent aside. But watch this, for a season. And almost always, somebody comes back around and says, you know what, I want to give my talent back to God. And I want to serve that way. Whether it's with music or whether it's with organization or whether it's with things that you do around the house or whatever it is, there is a gift and a talent that a lot of people have. And so the idea is that each is given the manifestation. There's a big Christian word right there. That's not one you hear around the water cooler too often. Manifestation. That means that it becomes apparent. That means it becomes a reality. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for who? The common good. That means that there's a gift that you have that God has given you so that others may come into an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really cool. And Paul is saying there's all kinds of gifts. There's many varieties. There's many ways that this thing can happen. And when the manifestation of it comes, then everybody around you in the body of Christ is going to benefit as you surrender that gift back to God. That's really cool. So that's kind of an introduction. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's this idea. Did I leave it in? I must have taken it out. Nope, I took it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there is this idea that we must pursue love. And when we pursue love, what we're doing is we're saying, I am going to go after this thing that is going to lead me into a better relationship. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, drives us to this idea of let's pursue love. Now, if you'll bear with me for one moment, I believe, oh, there it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am not reading the right one. Isn't that funny how this happens? That's not the right one. I'm going to put my wife on the spot. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Alexa?
Yes.
Could you read the one about pursuing the end of it, where it says, the greatest of these? Can you do that for me? Thanks, honey. Yes, that's the one. Does everybody hear that? One more time, please.
So now faith, hope, and love abide.
And the idea is that as I'm going after all this, it is embraced in love. That's the idea, is that it is embraced in love. At the beginning of it, the verse that I have up, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. If, in other words, if I am able to communicate with you clearly, but then I am also able to use my gift and pray in the same language of the angels, which is our spiritual prayer language, then, but I don't surround this thing in love, then I'm just making a bunch of noise and not really connecting. And so now what we're going to do, get into today. How does he start it off? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 ends with the greatest of these is love, right? Then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Notice the S. You notice it? Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may see. Something that has been stolen from the church, stolen from the bride. Is there is all of this concentration on the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit being speaking in tongues. You're like, oh, you're one of those places that speaks in tongues, or you pray in tongues, or this thing and that thing. And all the focus comes on that. But we're gonna see that there's actually a progression. And what Paul emphasizes in chapter 14 is that the purpose of the gifts is that we may prophesy. And this is where we ended last week. The purpose of the gifts are that we may prophesy, that the bride may gather together on a day like this, and we would be able to encourage one another. Verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. You need to know something. It's very good to talk to God. It's very, very good to talk to God. And so someone who speaks in a tongue, someone who speaks in their spiritual prayer language, you don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand what they're saying. But they are in communication with God. Do you see that that's in the Bible? Do you have a Bible open on your lap or on your phone or on a tablet? Do you see that this is in Scripture? This is something that's extremely important for all of you to understand. There is no controversy. The Bible says that for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And speaking to God is a good thing. We need to communicate with God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So if we are gathered together and we are praying in our spiritual tongue, what's happening is we are building ourselves up to a place to where we can say, God, I am ready for you to move. I am ready for you to speak. And then what we need to be able to do is enter into the next phase, which is bringing a word of encouragement to the body of Christ. But there's so much attention and focus on, well, I don't have that. I don't pray that way, or I don't get why we need to do that. And that's what I'm hoping that you can see, is that Paul lays it all out here for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. That's a good thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be built up. Sometimes I need to be encouraged. And it's wonderful to know that all I have to do is go before the Lord, pray in my spiritual language, and begin to be built up in the Spirit instantly, straight away. Just go before the Lord and say, I don't even know what, you know, what am I going to pray? God, give me a Maserati? That's why I'm glad sometimes I'm not praying in English, because you know what's going to end up happening when you're praying in English? All of a sudden you start asking for stuff. But when you start praying in the spiritual language, when you start praying, you are now in communication with God, and you are able to now be encouraged, and you're able to be built up. And Paul gets into that a little bit more in a few minutes here. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. But why? But even more to prophesy. I think I shared this with you last week, that I was in conversation with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about the various gifts, and he said, and I was asking him about this whole idea, this was probably a number of years ago now, and I said, you know, what's this whole idea about, you know, people are saying the only evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is if you pray in tongues, and I was kind of wrestling with that idea and that concept, and he said, no, he said, I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in all the different gifts and things like that. He said, but there are some gifts that do not function without a spiritual prayer language. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. And prophecy is one of them. I have never, ever, I believe I can say this, because I'm not recalling a time when somebody has given me a prophetic word that they first haven't been speaking in tongues first. They just walk up to me and they begin to pray in tongues, and they start doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, it switches over and they start speaking a prophetic word in that moment. And there are some things that are just like that, where there are gifts that we have, but they are best exercised and best perfected if they also have the gift of speaking and praying in tongues. And so what's happening is Paul says, now I want you all to speak in tongues. How many of you think Paul's a pretty decent guy? Anybody think that Paul is crazy and wacky? I mean, how about that? Well, I'll ask you to raise your hand, because nobody wants to raise their hand apparently in church. I'll ask you the question I know that you'll say no to. Paul crazy and wacky? No. So he says, I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies, now this is interesting, is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church, what's the focus? May be built up. Do you see how he came back to that? So this idea and this concept of praying in tongues is this, watch this, that we come into a meeting just like this, primed and ready to hear from God. We need to be praying together in our satellite locations, which is your house. Your house is a satellite church. Did you know that? So every church has sat. I wonder how many campus now we could do. We're a multi-campus church, just like that. We can fit in with all of them now. But when you are in your place and you're saying, God, I just want to hear you. I just want to know you. And then you begin to go into your spiritual prayer language and you begin to just pray, and God, and you're getting built up and you're encouraged. And then you walk into the church, you walk into the building where the church is meeting, and you're fellowshipping with the bride of Christ. And then the next thing you know, you have a word of encouragement that is going to go out. Now, one thing, we're going to make some clarity on some of this, but I want you to see that as the church gathers together and is building each other up, it is for the purpose of bringing others to Christ as well. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? This is an amazing illustration that he's using. I don't know how many of you know how to play the guitar, but I didn't have any formal lessons or anything like that. I'm a pretty basic player. I hang out with the guy that knows how to play the guitar way better than I do, and I just watch him and cheat. I just get by, right? But when I was learning how to play one of these, my parents bought me one, none of us knew too much about guitars back in the day. But my parents went and they said, you know, our son is interested. This is kind of the way my dad was. You know, he's like, my son's interested. I want to get something that's going to be easy for him to learn, easy for him to catch on to. And they came back and they said, well, what you want to do is that as they're learning, they have to get calluses on their fingers. You want to get them a nylon string guitar. Somebody who's learning, a nylon string guitar. And so my dad was like, fine, great. And it just so happens that nylon string guitars are like $10. And that was even better. So my dad got me a nylon string guitar. Now, I don't know if you know, if you know too much about this, but if you've ever listened to classical guitar playing, somebody get on the guitar and begin to play like Chopin, something like that, right? They're playing a nylon string guitar. It is actually one of the most amazing instruments instead of one of these. And I would get on there and I would try to play my chords on this thing. The fretboard is twice the size of this one because it's intended for fingering, not chording. And so I would get on there and I would try to play my chord. And nothing would happen. And when I read this verse, I can remember that. I can't remember how old I was. I was probably 9, 8, 7, 10, somewhere in there. We were living down in South Carolina, and I got it for either a birthday or Christmas or something like that. I pulled out, wow, this is awesome. But it was designed for somebody who was going to be doing finger playing. And I was still at this place. And plus, when I was little, I had the cutest little pudgy hands. I had dimples on every knuckle. And I would go and put my little fat hands on that thing, and I could not make a single sound come out of that guitar. And what it became is it was something that was designed to be a gift, and I set down the guitar and I never touched one again until I was like 15 or 16. Because the guitar itself was not designed for what I was looking to do. Now watch this. As believers in Jesus Christ, what happens is we hear all of these things that people talk about when it comes to being having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, I don't speak in tongues. I don't pray in tongues. I have no idea what you're talking about. And so then they take the gift of the Holy Spirit and they put him on the shelf because they say, I can't do that. And we miss out on the reality of what God is looking to do in the church today. Is don't look at things like this and say, because it's saying even if a lifeless instrument, that guitar is not going to sit there and make beautiful music. The piano will, because it's cheating. The piano comes pre-programmed with some beautiful music in it. So we can't use the piano as an example anymore. We used to. But it's digital. I go over there, I push play. If I went like this, you'd be like, wow. The guitar's not going to do that. It's not going to make it. It needs a talented, gifted person to pick it up and begin to do something. That's what a gift from the Holy Spirit is that not only do you receive it, but watch this, you have to practice. You have to practice. And how many of you know the best place to practice is at home with the door closed when you're trying to figure something out? If I said, okay, we're going to learn the guitar today, Scott, come right up here. This is part of my message. Here, we'll strap it on. All right, Scott, go. How many of you know Scott would be like, get me out of here. I don't want to do that. He might surprise us all and be a closet guitar player, and he just didn't want to tell anybody. He gets up here and does all kinds of stuff. You know, and I grab my other elder and I put him at the piano. I've never heard you play the piano. Maybe you do. Maybe you play the piano. You're just not telling me. But we can get up here and we say, okay, here's what we do. But the best place to really practice, where people really find out what they're able to do, when we practice, we do it in quiet, alone, and in our, in the house where maybe nobody's around. And then we begin to say, you know what? I want to exercise this thing that the Bible says is there for all of us. Because right now, I feel like I might be a lifeless instrument. And so I need the Holy Spirit to come to pick me up and begin to show me how this can happen. And if the bugle, this is another one, gives a distinct sound. Back in the day, you know, they charge, off they go. In verse 9, so with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. So this is not a section of scripture where Paul says tongues is not for today. What he's saying is what have you done before you get to the place where the bride is meeting to prepare yourselves to build up and encourage one another? That's what it is. And what's happened is that the focus has switched over somehow in church history to the idea of, well, you know, here's tongues and everybody's got to be praying in tongues. And I've been in services where, you know, the entire congregation just breaks out in a spiritual prayer language and they just begin to have spiritual warfare together when we're all doing it together. It's incredible. It's spiritual warfare is powerful and it can happen. But eventually what happens is in that setting is somebody switches from their spiritual prayer language over to English, and we begin to encourage and build up one another. Almost always happens that way. We're praying, we're believing, and we're going after it. Because we want to be able to agree in the Spirit with what's being said. I'm going to visit a good friend of mine this summer. Well, his name is Ken Gary, and he used to be the director of he was the main speaker at a camp that I was the director of when my dad was president of Pinecrest Bible Training Center. And he would come, and he would be the guest speaker, and we would have morning counselor prayer. And in morning counselor prayer, we had a student or a counselor. I can't remember if he was a student at the school or not. We would get into our counselor morning prayer, and we would all be praying, and every morning, this guy, Latin American somewhere, I don't know what country he was from, but he would begin to pray in Spanish. And you know, when somebody does that, I just speak enough Spanish to know that I'm not speaking Spanish. That's about my limitations right there. And so I recognize, he said Dios, so I know that's God. And I recognize another word here or there. And one time, Pastor Ken, right in the middle of this guy's prayer, he said, you know, would you stop for a second? And you could have heard a pin drop. I don't know if you've ever been in a service where somebody said, can you stop praying for a minute? I never had up to that point. And he said, we want to be able to agree with you and stand with you in what you're talking. I know that you speak English really, really well. Can you pray in English so that we can agree with you? And I was like, did that just happen? Did he just tell somebody not to pray the way that they were? But guess why he was doing that? So that we could all understand. And guess what the power and the authority is that when we have gotten our spiritual mind in place before we come into a setting like this, when we have gotten our focus ready and we're saying, God, I want to hear from you today, or God, I want to be an encouragement to someone else from you today, then what we do is we get prayed up so that when we walk into the house of God, we can begin to minister. That would be incroyable. That's French for incredible. That would be amazing to be able to do that and to be able to come into a place where we're saying, let's encourage, let's build up, let's get ready. Why? Because in our own satellite location, we were saying, God, I want to hear from you today. I want to be in your presence. And we're praying in the Spirit. We're believing for God to do something. And then when we walk in, we say, there are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none of them are without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So I want you to see something. If I could do something with you this morning, if I could say, here's what I'm getting at, is that I am not diminishing the gift of tongues. I agree with Paul. I don't think Paul was crazy. I wish all of you spoke in tongues. I wish all of you did. But I think what the hairy, scary part of that is that you think that now featuring, come on down and he's going to pray now for us and go ahead and pray for us in tongues. And for whatever reason, there's this idea that there's going to be this spotlight on us. And the reality is that if I am going to truly enter into a place of relationship with God, then I am going to be free to pray in the Spirit with my spiritual prayer language so that I can come into the body of Christ ready to build up and encourage and be a part of what's happening and not just a spectator. Paul says, if I don't know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner. Travelers to other countries, anyone? Anyone? Travelers to other countries? Yep. It's amazing. When I go and I'm just like, it's incredible. You sit there and you think, how can I not know at all what's going on? I remember our missionary friend Bob that comes here a lot. He was sharing, he was in one particular country, and he said, their language, it's incredible. It sounds like they're mad all the time. You know, and they would have their announcements, and they'd be going off in their language, and he thought, you know, something terrible was happening, and then the translator standing next to him would go, and bring your cupcakes in for the social next week. And he'd be like, that's not at all what that sounded like. That sounded like we were being invaded, you know. But you can have no idea what is going on if you can't make a connection with somebody in your language. Now watch this. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit came. Tongues of fire showed up on their heads, and they began to pray in tongues. And they began to spill down into the streets. And as they were spilling down into the streets, there's two schools of thought on this. One is that some of them were speaking Spanish, some of them were speaking German, some of them were speaking, you know, some other languages. And people are like, how is that possible? You're not even from the region of the world that I'm from, or the region of this area that I'm from, and you're speaking my language. Others say that they were speaking in tongues and the hearer was hearing them in their own language. That's a topic for another day. But the point is, they were speaking in tongues, and God was allowing the listener to understand. Do you see that? They didn't just spill down into the streets and speak in tongues, and everybody was like, that's weird. We don't even know what's going on. They heard the gospel message in their own language. That's the point of what's going on. And so how did that become effective? That became effective because I've heard that very testimony. I've heard people at missions conferences and different things, they say, I got up and I just started praying. I thought I was praying in tongues and I was speaking perfect Russian. And they were saying a phrase, you know, I don't know that they were actually like preaching, but they were saying a phrase, and that phrase was actually in the language. That's from Pastor Jeff Barnett. Pastor Jeff Barnett was praying in a service, or maybe the person he was with, but he was in the service, and that person did not speak the language, and they were all of a sudden, they were praying in tongues, and boom, that person was saying stuff, and everybody was like, how did you know that? That happens. But the reality is that we need to be able to practice and be ready to move in the Spirit. And the best place to do that is you need to begin to have time with the Lord and begin to exercise that gift that is there for you. To pray in the Spirit. Spiritual prayer language. So that no one would be a foreigner. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations, there's that word again, of the Spirit. Strive to excel in what? Building up the church. And what builds up the church? Prophecy. So Paul wants us to excel in building up the church. He wants us to excel in the prophetic. And if we are excelling in the prophetic, then what we're doing is we're getting ready by praying in the Spirit, and then we come into the presence of God with the bride, and we begin to prophesy the power and authority of God over a region. That's pretty powerful. That was a really good point, Pastor Phil. You guys are funny. So if I come in ready, guess what happens? I expect God to move. I don't want to be taken by surprise that God moved. Somebody was prayed up. Did you feel that? Somebody came to church ready. Why don't we all come ready? Why don't we all come ready and expecting to walk into this place if we believe that the Bible is true, which I'm just going to toss out a blanket, and I think that most of you do. If I believe that the Bible is true, then what the Bible tells me is that when I walk into this place, I literally walk into the presence of God. Guess why? All it takes is two or three. We meet that requirement easily today. When you came into this place, there were two or three gathered in my name, right? So where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. So then we should not be willing to walk away from this place without knowing that we've encountered God. Without saying, He was there, and man, it was evident. Everything that we did, from the worship to being able to fellowship together, when we opened up the scriptures, it was evident. God was there. It was powerful. Why? Because I was prayed up, I was ready to go, and I moved into what God had laid on my heart. And man, it was incredible to be in the presence of God. Incredible. I did a little bit with you like this last week, and what are some things that I see? We need to spend time in spiritual conversation with God. Here's what I love about this, is every once in a while you come across somebody and they say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know, we've run into that maybe even sometimes in the men's group or in small groups. You know, we say, hey, would you close us in prayer? Mm-mm. Right? I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to communicate. Well, guess what you can do? You can communicate with God. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just begin to utter things. And then as you do that, watch this now. Guaranteed, God will begin to lay some things on your heart to pray in English. So that comes about by having time in spiritual conversation with God. That's when we are able to say, I need to be able to enter into the presence of God. I want to come ready and expecting something. And then when I do that, that expectation transfers over to when we get together as the body of Christ. I want to come ready to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to come into a setting like this and expect God to move. Not because I'm telling Him what to do, but the Bible says that He will do it if I come ready. That's what the Bible says. So I'm not standing here saying, all right, God, I did my part. It's time for you to ante up, big boss. You know, that's not it. What it is it's me saying, all right, God, I am ready now. And your word specifically says that as we gather together, you will move. You will empower us. You will give us the strength. And so, God, I now have done the preparation, and I am expecting great things to happen when I get together with the body of Christ. That's my expectation. That's what I want to do. And then there's the tricky one. Is come ready to be used. Come ready to be used. Come ready to contribute of your gifts, your talents, what God has blessed you with. The body of Christ needs encouragement from you. We need to be encouraged. We need to be built up. Why? I guess I could start all over again if you want me to, but it's Paul clearly said, do this so that the church may be built up. Come on, people. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we're here. That's what's supposed to be taking place on the earth today, is that it is for the building up of the church. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to tear us apart. You go, that's weird. There he is. I knew it. You know, if you've been coming to the church for less than a year, you're probably like, I knew we'd get to this eventually. I'm glad the Chinese restaurant doesn't close. We're out of here, right? But that's not at all what it is that this is how can we truly be the church that God wants us to be, truly be the bride of Christ that God wants us to. And Paul says it so clearly. You're going to get prayed up. You're going to walk into the presence of God. And as soon as you walk into the presence of God, be ready to be used. Be ready to be used. A whole bunch of stuff just flew into my brain that we're just going to have to throw on the cutting floor. Because it wasn't in my notes. God had plenty of time to give that to me, and now is not the time. I'm just kidding. Come ready. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, and I want to close with this idea. That God was clearly communicating to the disciples that it was necessary and important for him to go away so that he could send the Holy Spirit. That was a very difficult concept for the disciples to grab a hold of. They were, I don't know if there was a certain level of anticipation that they knew there was something else coming, but maybe there was some kind of fear of him going away. But you could sense that there was on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, you can sense there was some level of abandonment that was going on. Like, what? Okay. To the point to where one of the Gospels says, and angels appeared to them and said, what are you guys doing? You know, when Jesus went up, I mean, they were literally standing there like this. And the angels came up, what did he say to do? Get going. We keep doing this, maybe he'll come back, you know. And there's a point at which you and your relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to say, okay, what was this all about? Why? And what Paul is clearly saying is that we need to be able to build up the church. Build up the church. Build up the church. And how can we do that? We come in here ready to be an active part of what's going on. Like shouting down the preacher when he makes an amazing point. That kind of stuff. Which is so common in Northwestern PA. But the reality of what would it mean if a body of Christ was just vibrant and ready at any moment for God to do something because they all came in ready to go. And that starts with the preparation before you come into the building. It's what was going on beforehand. So that's what I want to pray with you this morning, is I want to pray about the preparation. I want to pray about getting ready. So let's go to the Lord for that right now. Everybody just bow your heads. Just begin to go before the Lord. And I would just say, Father, today, I desire for a well of refreshing to come to the bride of Christ. That, Father, that today there would be a release of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our presence. That, God, we would not withhold anything that would cause us to fall away or fall short of the purpose of the church on earth today. Now, I'm not closing my prayer. I didn't say amen, so you have to keep your heads down. You can't look around. But I believe that each and every one of you that has received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And I believe that what Scripture says is that it's almost like a time release capsule. That here's this thing that came in when you gave your life to Christ. This thing blossomed and this thing blossomed. And I feel that in the room today, there are people that are saying, I would really like to be able to have this ability to just go before the Lord and lay it all out, whether it would be in my prayer time, in my quiet, or it would be in a service where we're just praying against the powers of the enemy or whatever it is, that God, I want this thing to begin to well up within me. I believe that you have the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit doesn't release parts of different things to you. There is a release in the Spirit for the gift of spiritual prayer language. And so as we go today, I want you to know that that Holy Spirit is there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a definite, singular event that happened in Scripture when they would pray over the believers that were there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit did, in fact, fall out. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be manifested in you as well. Peter said it this way, what? They have been baptized in the Spirit the same as we have. In other words, with the manifestation of tongues, the manifestation of prophecy, they were baptized the same way we were. What is to withhold them from being baptized in water? And God turned it all around on them. So you say, well, I can't receive the Holy Spirit today because I haven't been water baptized. Phooey. Yes, you can. So if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it can happen right now at the seat where you're at. Right here, right now, today. This is very personal. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands right where you are. Right where you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Hands down. It's just this simple. You believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You believe that He rose again. But now what you're seeing is that God has a fullness of the gospel that is about to be released in your life. So right now, here's what's going to take place. The 12 or 13 of you that raised your hand, here's what's going to happen. The people in this room, I am going to ask them to do something. Those of you in this room that have a spiritual prayer language, I'm going to ask you to exercise it right at your seat, right where you are. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. It's okay. It's all right. Now as they're praying, there's an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit that is just dwelling in this room. And in English, under your breath or audibly if you want to, you can just begin to say, Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like that, right where you are. Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can say it right under your breath if you want to, just like that. All around you in this room, those who have their spiritual prayer language, what we're doing now is we're allowing the freedom of the Spirit to come. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to move freely just as He wants to. You may or may not receive.